It's always a joy and an honor to bring the word. Always. You know, I was reading the book. I was reading about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. I'm sure most of you know the story, Elijah and the widow. And I got to where the Bible says God sent him to the widow of Zarephath to go and have his provisions because there was famine in the land. And then when Elijah got to Zarephath, he saw this woman picking up sticks, and then she asked for water from the woman. And as the woman was going to get the water, Elijah said, "Oh, can I have some cake as well?" Then the woman stopped and said, she reacted. He said, "Look, the water is hard for me even to get the water, but I can manage it. But as for the cake that you're asking, I can't because it's beyond my limitation. I can't do that. If I'm going to have to give you the cake, it means I'm going to have to stretch and give it to you. This is beyond my limitation. I can't." And then Elijah convinced this woman. And then the woman eventually gave him. Because Elijah said, "Look, God says that if you do this for me, believe me, for the rest of the entire farming period, you're going to have so much that it will blow you away." And then the woman believed Elijah, and what happened? She had so much, so much. But as I read that story, I said to God, "God, is this story, is it just about you providing for us? Because if it's just about God providing for us, there are so many ways God could have provided for that woman. If you wanted money and you asked God for money and he sent me to give you money, there would have been a reason why he did that. If he caused the money to drop from heaven into your laps, there would have been a reason. Everything that God does has a purpose. Everything he does has a purpose. Everything. And so when I read that story and I said to God, "God, is it just you providing for the woman?" God says, "Yes, it's me providing, but there's more to it. There's more to me. It's not just about me providing, but about me breaking limitations, going beyond limitations." And this morning, I just want to talk to you about living your life without limits, living your life without limits. And I want us to go to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, the book of Joshua chapter 1. There are times that you get to a point in life where you feel you cannot grow anymore because of limitations that you are facing. And when you talk about limitations, there are times, there are limitations that God imposes on us just to protect us. There are limitations that we impose on ourselves, and there are limitations that the enemy tries to impose on us to stop us from getting to where God wants us to go. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, check this. It says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun," Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead." See, up until this point, Moses had led the Israelites from Egypt up unto where they were. And so it's about time. He's dead now and Joshua has to take over. But at some point, when Moses led the Israelites, God asked Moses to send 12 spies to Canaan to go and check out the land before they moved in. Now they went into Canaan and they saw giants. And when they came back, they spread bad report among the camp. They said, "You know, we went into the land, but there were obstacles in the land. And so I don't think it's a good idea for us to go there. There are giants in the land, and so I don't think it's a good idea for us to go there." And as a result, the whole camp ended up not going into the promised land because of the negative report. Now understand that it was the fear that gripped them that stopped them from going into the promised land. The fear that gripped them, that stopped them from going into the land. There were only two guys, Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones who made it into the promised land. You see, those guys were afraid to die. They were afraid to face Goliath, the giants in Canaan, and die. So they were thinking not of the promises that God had given them, but the fear that they were going to face in Canaan. But Caleb and Joshua were not afraid. They were not afraid. You know, I've come to realize, and I read it from somewhere, it says death is not the greatest loss. The greatest loss is what dies in you when you are still alive. It's what dies in you. And this is what Caleb realized. He's thinking, "No way, I'm not afraid. We will all die at some point anyway." I mean, the Bible says that Methuselah lived up to 1,000 years, almost. But he still died anyway. Jesus lived up to 33 years. And he still died. Now, it's not a question about... Now, all I know about Methuselah is that he lived up to 1,000 years. What did he do? Nothing. Jesus lived to 33, and he did so much. It's not the number of years, but it's what you do with the years that God has given you. You understand? And so as for death, we'll all die. It's not the issue. It's what dies in you when you are still alive. Caleb and Joshua realized there was so much in them that they couldn't afford to miss it. Hallelujah. Now check this. In verse 2, it says this. Moses, my servant, said, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them." Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready because I'm about to take you to a new place. Get ready because I'm about to do something new. Get prepared because I'm taking you to a new level. Get prepared because there's an opportunity coming your way. Get prepared. Get prepared. How many of you know that opportunity without preparation can lead to disappointment? Opportunity without preparation can lead to disappointment. I read again somewhere that every next level of your life will demand a new version of you. But how do you get a new version if you don't prepare? Now, this is how the Bible puts it. You cannot put new wine in an old wineskin. You cannot. Preparation. If you want to live a life beyond limits, you need to prepare. I mean, people have said in the past, I see you preaching and you don't even look at your notes. I laugh in my head. It's only, 30 minutes that I've got, or at times 20. At times, it takes me a whole week to prepare to get the word. A whole week to prepare to get the word. And what I do is I over-prepare and I just go with the flow because you don't know what God is going to do. Preparation is key to your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Next verse. And it says, "Now then, you and all these people, get ready, cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to. I am about to give to them, to the Israelites." Verse 3, "I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." See what God is trying to do here? He's trying to map out the territory he's going to give it to them. He's mapping out. He says it will be from the desert to Lebanon to Euphrates to the great Mediterranean. He's mapping it out because maybe God knows that you can't possess what you can't see. He knows it, and it's true. If you can't see it, you can't achieve it. You need to see. If it's healthy, you need to see yourself healthy. If you want to soar, you need to see yourself soaring. And maybe God knows that this is a huge territory. They need to see to be able to possess it. You need to begin to see yourself where God wants you to be and where you want to be yourself. Begin to see it. Begin to see it, because if you can't see it, you may not be able to achieve it. Hallelujah. And so he maps out all the territories for them. And he says, "I will give you," let's go to verse 4. It says, "Your territory will extend from the desert Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." How many people know that if God is with you, nobody can stand against you? He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I will fear. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. And then verse 7, he says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." It says God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, how far you go, it's up to you. It's up to you, but wherever you go, I've given. Wherever you go within the borders that he's demarcated, wherever you go, I'll be with you. But how far you go, it's up to you. And so you need to find where God has placed you and then let the sky be the limit. Because he says, wherever you go, I've given it to you. But he says this, the Lord your God will be with you. The Lord your God. And the question is, how well do you know your God? How well do you know your God? How well do you know your God? And with all respect, coming to church every Sunday doesn't mean you know your God. No. How well do you know your God? And if you claim to know your God that well, then maybe you should start changing the way you are talking, because it's inconsistent with your actions. How well do you know your God? How well? And I want to prove something to you in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go there quickly. 1 Samuel. chapter 17. It's a very common story. Most of you know that story. It's about David and Goliath. And watch this. It says, now the Philistines, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Says, no, actually, let's jump to verse 2 because of time. It says, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. So this is the scenario. The children of Israelites were on one side, and then the Philistines went on the other side. Now, they are ready to do battle. Now, what is it says, verse 4? It says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in his span. That's about 9 feet 9 inches tall. And look at the armor on him. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds. That is heavy, very heavy. Verse 6, on his legs he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. It's about 15 pounds. Now look at him. He's like a killing machine standing right there. Killing machine. And now, as I was reading, God said, you see how prepared the enemy is? Helmet, he was fully dressed. And God said, you see how prepared the enemy is when he comes against you? Most Christians don't prepare. They don't prepare. And so they are taken by surprise. They are taken by, see how prepared. The Bible even calls the devil an angel of light. He will dress to suit the occasion. You see what he did in the garden? He came as a snake. He will always dress to see the occasion. So if your enemy is preparing and you are leaving things to chance, what chance have you got? None. You don't have any at all. You need to prepare. And that's what I'm saying. Preparation is so important. It's key to everything. You can't take things for granted. You need to prepare. If the enemy is preparing, then you have to prepare. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servant of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and servants. Normally, when they gather for war, you've got Israel on one side, you've got the Philistine on the other side. They gather and then they clash and they all fight. Now, watch what Goliath is saying. He says, look, why don't you select a man from your camp to come and fight me, and whoever wins will be our servant. You see, the devil, he wants you to fight on his terms. He wants you to fight on his terms. You would lose. You don't want to fight the devil on his terms. It has to be on your terms. How tricky. He's so bad, believe me, he wants you to fight on his terms. And even if you read further, even after David had killed Goliath, they didn't even surrender. They ran away to regroup and come back. You can never fight the devil on his terms. Believe me, if you want to so. You can never fight the devil on his terms. Now, let's say 10. Say the Philistine said, this day, then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let him fight each other. Let's jump to verse 16. Verse 16. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand, abusing the army of God. Now, I want us to jump to verse 25. 1 Samuel 17, 25. It says, now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Not even the incentives that Saul was offering was enough. It was enough for anybody to fight the giant. Not even the incentive. Because they were so gripped by fear that they couldn't go to where God said they should go. Now, these are the same giants, probably, that when in Moses' time, he sent them to go and defeat them in Canaan. They ran away. They are coming back to fight them again. You see, lessons in life will be repeated until they are learned. And so if you see a giant, an obstacle, don't run away from it. Deal with it whilst you can. Deal with it. Because you run away, you live to fight another day. Deal with it in the strength of God while you can, because the lessons in life chances are will almost be repeated until they are learned. So not even the incentive was enough. 26, David asked the man standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and remove this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, this is David talking. It sounds like somebody who knows his God. Sounds like somebody who knows his God. He says what? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Everybody is looking at Goliath, and they are seeing giant. But David looks at him, and he sees an uncircumcised Philistine. It's not what you look at, it's what you see that makes the difference. It's not what you look at, it's what you see. David was seeing opportunity. They were all seeing fear. Listen, if you are going to soar, you need to begin to see things the way God sees it. You know, I always say that if you live by what you see and what you hear, you're not going to go anywhere. You can't live by what you see. You have to line it with the word of God. You always have to line it up with the word of God. They repeated, 27, they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited or conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. You see, when people are trying to discourage you from achieving what God has for you, when people are trying to put limitations in your life to stop you from what God said you should do, you know what David did? Turn your back to them and just look to where God says you should go. Don't even ignore. He completely ignored them and carried on. Saul, 33, Saul replied, you are not able to go out. That's another person trying to... And listen, 33, let's read 30. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Now, it's true what Saul is saying. Goliath has been fighting ever since he was a young boy. David, you're a kid. The only reason even why David wasn't in the army was because he's under 20. And when you're under 20, you're not allowed to fight. You're not allowed to fight. That's the only reason why he's in. So the point that King Saul was making was valid. It was valid. You can't beat this man. But you see, when you get to your limitation, where you can't go any further, that's why you hand everything to God. Because he thrives on our limitation. He thrives on our limitation. So when you get to the point where you think, God, I can't handle this anymore, just surrender everything and watch what he will do. Now watch this. Let's jump to 40. Then he took his staff in his hand. This is David you're talking about. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the wild animals. Listen to what David says. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Sounds like somebody who knows his God. Sounds like somebody who knows his God. Now, didn't they say earlier on that David took 5 smooth stones and a sling and a staff? Anyway, for those of you who are Bible nerds, 5 is number of grace. So there was favor on him as he was going. You need God's favor if you are going to go higher. He took 5 stones and a sling. But when he approaches Goliath, he says, you come against me with a sword, a javelin, and a spear, but I come against you. He didn't say anything about the stones and the sling he had. I come against you in the name of the Lord. He surrendered the sling and the stones he had for the use of God. That's what he did. He took it, but when he got there, he surrendered. No, there's so much in you that you need to surrender. Listen, if you're going to go to where you've never been before, you need to learn to surrender. You need to learn to surrender the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have. God placed a gift and a talent and ability in every single person. Every single person. But if you want to break outside of that yoke and soar with that gift, you need to surrender it to God. Now you would think that, you think that David had the greatest skill and ability in the camp. You would think that he had the greatest skill and ability in the camp. But no, he didn't. In fact, every other soldier in that battlefield, I think, had more skill and ability than David did, because they had fought wars before. It wasn't the first time. They had all the gear. They had all the spear. They had all the experience, and yet they were afraid. They were afraid. And so you would think that, oh, these guys, because with all the experience that they have, you would think that they have the greatest skill and ability on the field. But they didn't. They didn't. You know what David had? He had the greatest awareness of the presence of God. And that's what made the difference. He had the greatest awareness of the presence of God. Listen, if you're going to achieve the impossible, you need to be aware of the presence of God all the time. In Psalm 124, can we go there, please? Psalm 124, listen to what David says. He says, had it not been the Lord on my side, that tells me he knew. Had it not been the Lord on my side, yes. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say the next verse. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen, how well do you know your God? How well do you know your God? If you claim to know your God the way you say you do, then maybe when things happen and people are beginning to talk in a negative way, maybe you shouldn't be speaking like that. Maybe you shouldn't be so negative because you know who your God is. You should learn to change the way you think and the way you talk. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, how can you fail? How can you fail? It says, I'll be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. When things are hard and people are complaining, you should know who's on your side. You should know who's on your camp. You should know. You shouldn't be talking like the way they do. You shouldn't. He didn't have the greatest ability or skill. No, he had the greatest awareness of the presence of God. Shall we rise on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Listen, I don't know how far you've come in life, and I don't know how limited you feel at times, but we serve a God who is the limit breaker. He can break every limitation over your life. But at times you need to give him what you have. Because as human, you naturally have limitation. You can go so far. But when you surrender and yield to him, you will soar like an eagle. And really, that is what he wants for you. He says, I will go with you wherever. I'll be with you wherever you go. So how far? The question is, how far do you want to go? Are you happy the way you are? Just to sit down and even be a pew warmer? Are you happy? There's more for you than you could possibly even think or imagine. But unless you are constantly aware of his presence with you, everywhere you go and whatever you do, you always be restricted and limited in things you do. I want you to speak to God right now. You know the song, "I've made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me." And at times we make God too small in my eyes. That is why a whole army could not stand up to Goliath, except one small boy who could do that because he was aware of the presence of the living God. I just want you to do your own business with God and say, "God, I apologize if I ever made you small in my eyes. I yield to you this morning, God. Have your way in me. Have your way in me, God. Have your way in me, God. Have your way in me." He says, "I've given you this year as your year of expansion. How big you expand is up to you. It's entirely up to you. But I've given it to you." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, Lord. I thank you for your word this morning, oh God. I pray that, Father, oh God, your will be done even in the lives, oh God, of your children today, Father. I thank you, oh God, for your word that has come to stir them up, oh God. Give them the strength and the grace, oh God, to attain and achieve everything you have for them. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.